for me, I was always a young kid with big dreams, right? And so I grew up with a single mom, and my grandma kind of stepped in to help lead the way for taking the place of my father since he was never in my life. Now, I always like to tell people from the beginning that even though I never had financial resources or financial literacy, I did have to figure it out. But one thing that I did have was I always had love and support.
This is life. This is business. This is the world. And what it looks like when people come together. This is the sound of FIO Media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Figure It Out podcast. I'm Jonathan Gerhardt, the host of the podcast and the founder of FIO Media. Today, we have on Casanova Brooks. Really excited to have him on. We connected on social media, on Instagram, about a week ago, and his story was something that really caught my eye. Casanova, thanks so much for joining me today. How are you doing? You want to give yourself a little bit of an introduction?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. And what's up? Do you have something that you call your audience, your tribe? Figure It Out Nation or anything like that?
Yeah, we haven't named them yet. Maybe that's something we can think about down the road. But I like Figure It Out Nation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, FIO Nation, something like that. But I love it. So, well, what's up, everybody? I appreciate you all listening to this episode. And yeah, just a little bit about me. For me, I would say that I'm really a serial entrepreneur, but at heart, I'm a relationship builder. Everything that I've been able to build my entire life has come off of relationships. And I've really just felt like it's never about what you know, not necessarily even who you know, but who knows you. Right. And that's who's willing to put their stamp of approval on your name. The fact that you would allow me to come in front of your audience, your tribe, and be able to share my story. Obviously, that gives credibility to them from you. And so that's why I'm here. I've had quite a bit of journey thus far. I still like to consider myself a young guy, but I just got a lot of energy. I am a family man as well. I have a wife. I have two kids. 8-year-old boy, and now 8 years old next month, and he always likes me to round up though, so I've kind of gotten used to that already. And then I have an 18-month-old daughter. And a little bit about my background: I'm in real estate, both as an agent full time as well as an investor. And okay. I own several other businesses as well, and it's been a fun journey.
Awesome, man! Yeah, thanks again for coming on. I'll tell you a little bit about the podcast and my brand before we get started up. So FIO Media is kind of a small marketing company. We're doing digital marketing for small businesses. But what I wanted to be and what kind of my mission is to share with people like different stories from entrepreneurs, provide a little bit of motivation, but also provide, you know, practical insights on how to achieve things you want to achieve. You know, the phrase "figure it out" actually comes from my experience. You know, one of my football coaches kind of would just say to us, you know, when we were struggling with something, whether it was just catching a pass or, you know, figuring out a play, it was just kind of like, figure it out. And, you know, at the time it was very challenging to me because I was like, you know, I want more than that. Like, tell me exactly what I have to do. But, you know, when I started working in this business about 2 years ago now, I realized that a lot of times you don't have the instructions. There's no instruction manual on how to do a lot of things in business and, you know, in my experience, short experience with life. So I found that the best advice you can get sometimes and can just tell yourself is just to figure it out. You know, you gotta have to just get into the weeds and really just think your way through situations, work your way through situations. So I thought, you know, like you were saying, you could be a great ambassador of that phrase and a great ambassador of kind of the brand I have and I'm looking to build. And so that's why I brought you on today. So that being said, you know, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your story. How did you, you know, become a successful real estate entrepreneur? You know, what brought you to where we're at today?
Yeah, so I would say, first off, for me, I was always a young kid with big dreams, right? And so I grew up with a single mom, and my grandma kind of stepped in to help lead the way for taking the place of my father since he was never in my life. Now, I always like to tell people from the beginning that even though I never had financial resources or financial literacy, I did have to figure it out. But one thing that I did have was I always had the love and support of the people in my family. So that was huge for me, and I just never wanted to let them down. So I knew that I had to figure it out. So growing up, I never seen anyone who was really an entrepreneur that was doing it the legal way, right? Because I grew up in South Side of Chicago before my family made the decision to move me to Sioux City, Iowa. So my entire life, I've been based out of the Midwest. Now I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I've lived here for 5 years. And I've had so many different jobs. Like I probably had about 17 different jobs. Like I was going through everything. I mean, from when I first started, when I was young, my first ever job was I was pumping gas for people. So when you would come out of the gas station, and this was way back when, I mean, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. So I am kind of dating myself a little bit, but this was about 22 years ago. Right. So, this would probably be in the late 90s, which doesn't seem that old. But again, once you've gone through it, some people that are listening to this will probably be like, old? Like, what are you, kid? Like 30? And yeah. So that was like my first ever job. And I seen that I could go out there and I could really create my own income as long as I was willing to serve other people. Right. So when you would come out of the gas station and I would just be sitting right there and I would say, hey, can I pump your gas, Mr. or Mrs.? And then they'd be like, yeah, okay. And then, I was obviously looking for some type of a compensation or a tip or something, but sometimes people would just say, okay, thank you, and then they would drive off. But, more times than not, as long as you have, really the care, the word that I'm looking for, I guess you could use, for lack of a better term, charisma, to be able to sway them over, then they would say, you know what, I love the fact that he could be out here doing anything else. Right. He could be stealing. He could be fighting. He could be doing anything. He's here trying to make a little bit of a living. Here's a dollar. Which at that time was huge, because think about how many cars come in and out of a gas station. If you do that 20 times as an 8-year-old boy getting $20, back when there's still a thing as penny candy or quarter candy, that was a lot for me. So that was kind of my first stint at starting, this phase of entrepreneurship. And then from there, I was always just looking for different jobs where I could control my own income, but at the same time, control my own time. And those were big things for me. My first ever stint of adversity, I would say, came when I was 15 years old. I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4 cancer. So that was something that I was 2 weeks away from death. And when we went to the hospital, because I was having, a trouble breathing, I mean, I was very active in high school. So I ran track, I played basketball and football, and I was a part of the dance squad. So I was very active. I was very popular in high school, and that was something that no one saw coming. And then next thing you know, a doctor says, hey, we got to ship you to the University of Iowa because we think that this is way worse than what we originally expected. So I went through 2 years of chemo there, been in remission ever since. And once I got done with the cancer, that was my first ever realization or epiphany that, like, listen, you got to take life by the horns. Otherwise, it's going to pass you by and you never know if today is your last day. Because, they had told my mom and grandma, if we would have waited 2 more weeks, I could have just died naturally. And it was like, whoa. And so then I went through that. And from there, I was really so driven and focused on making sure that I could live life by my design. That I wasn't going to allow someone else to tell me what I had to do or that's where I as well have a podcast, and it's called Dream Nation. And the reason behind that kind of stems from, having the cancer, and it's those of us who dare to dream while the rest of the world is settling for what society tells us is reality. We stand to be trailblazers along the path and then show other people what's possible. So that was where I really wanted to go to. And then since then, I tried so many different jobs. I mean, everything from car sales to network marketing to just anything you could think of. I did customer support for Vizio. I served tables. I sold Kirby vacuums. I've done it all, man. Door-to-door sales, inside sales, outside sales. And then I stumbled 4 years ago. Well, 5 years ago, I made the decision to move my family to Omaha, Nebraska. Now, before moving here, I knew nothing about Omaha at all, my wife nor I. But what I did know was I did want a better opportunity for my son, you know, and now my daughter. And I knew that wasn't going to come if I stayed in my same place, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, again, like, you have to figure it out. And so for me, I knew that I wanted more out of life than what I was given. Not that my parents treated me any certain type of way, because they always loved me, but it's just like a football. A football can only go as far as you can throw it, right? It's the same thing as, like, someone, your children can only go as far as you'll allow them to go, or as far as their mindset will take them. So again, if you never had financial literacy, right, then they got to figure it out, or you have to figure out how to give them better opportunities, right? I have a saying that I absolutely love, which is, you know, if I didn't come from a wealthy family, a wealthy family must come from me, right? Mm. So that's something that I loved. And then 4 years ago is where I really went through my second big round of adversity. So within 1 week, I lost my mom, I lost my job, and I lost my home all in the same week. 9 months later, though, I don't say that as a pity party, because again, what did I have to do? I had to figure it out. So I don't say that as a pity party, because 9 months later, I found myself doing 46 deals, $8 million in volume here in real estate in my very first year, where I had no prior knowledge. I had no church group. I had no clients. Nothing was given to me, but I figured it out. I wound up getting Rookie of the Year here in Omaha. And from there, since then, 4 years later, I've done about $30 million in volume, and I just continue to build relationships.
Excellent. Awesome, man. Really cool to hear that story. I mean, like I said, you're definitely someone who's been through some adversity. And I think a couple of things that you mentioned really struck me. You know, one of them was one of the first things you said, that you were a kid who had big dreams. You know, I kind of wanted to, you know, like, you think that is important to your success? And what would you say to a kid nowadays, or even, like, you know, someone graduating college right now with big dreams of living above, you know, what society tells them they should be living? You know, should they follow those dreams and pursue it? Or, you know, should they just kind of put their head down and work? Like, what's the best advice you would give on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, again, everything starts with the dream. And if we look at young kids, when we all start out, we have no fears. Right. I mean, I have a daughter. I don't know if you have any younger siblings or young kids or anything like that, but we all start out and we have no fears. We really want to be daredevils. We want to test society. We want to test the world, because the only limitations are the limitations that we put on ourselves, or we allow someone else to put on us. So I think that everything starts with a dream. And those, again, of us who dare to dream, like Jeff Bezos, right? Like Tim Cook, like Steve Jobs, like Mark Zuckerberg, all these people. Imagine if someone came to you and said, listen, I want to do a ride sharing app where random people are going to get in a car together. They're all going to drive to a destination. Like, no, 10 years ago, we would have all said, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Well, we would have said, listen, we're going to hire someone to operate our business, and they don't even have to be in our country. Right? That we'd be like, what? Like, no, that person needs to be in my office. I need to micromanage this person. Like, no, that's not the way of the world. So you have to allow those people who have big dreams to really get out there and try to change the world. And so for me, I tried some of everything. The reason why I tried some of everything is because if I didn't expose myself to different lanes, different avenues, I would have never known what I liked. But more importantly, I would have never known what I didn't like. So that all came with a dream. And I mean, when we see, I think exposure is the number one word of why I dream so big, because we would think, I came from nothing, right? My mom, my grandma, my family, they never owned businesses. They never owned cars. They never even owned homes, right? So for me, I dreamed and I saw, and I was, when I first moved here to Omaha, especially, I saw gated communities. I saw big houses. Right. I saw 3-car garages, 4-car garages. I saw big land. And I was like, wow, OK, if these people can do it, then I know it's possible. It's just about who are the people that I need to surround myself with to teach me what are the steps that I need to take to make it a reality for my life and for my family. And so, yes, I think that dreaming starts with it all, because if you can't dream, then you'll never know exactly where you're trying to get to. And so think about that in another sense. if someone says, hey, you just want to gain muscles, you're probably going to be like, yeah, I would love to gain muscles. But there's no end goal with that. But if you dream of being the number one bodybuilder in your state or in the country or whatever, now you have something that you work towards, and now you have a purpose and you have a why and you have a destination that's tying behind it. So that's really what I think. You have to dream, because it's going to give you something to continuously look forward to. And the grind of life itself, forget business, forget relationships, forget any of that. Just going through your day to day, there's so much noise out there, and that's a grind in itself. So the only way to keep going is you got to keep dreaming, because you need something to look forward to.
Mm. I like that too, like a specific dream. It's not just something broad that you can't, you know, it's hard to materialize. You make it something specific, a specific goal, and that way you always have something that's motivating you, always have something to aim for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, cool. That seems important. Another thing, you know, you were talking about, you know, you face some adversity, you know, having the childhood cancer. I can only imagine what that fight was like. And then, you know, losing your job and your house and, you know, a loved one all at the same time. That had to be a huge amount of stress on you. You know, what did you do? I know you said you kind of just had to figure it out. And, you know, sometimes that's the only advice we get, and that's the only thing we can do. But what are some keys to, like, what got you through that time when you were, you know, at your darkest moment? How did you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel and get out of those situations?
Yeah. So I would say two things. One, that I had big dreams, and I knew that, you know, if I wanted to change anything else, if I wanted to still live out my purpose and my potential to allow my mom to really see that, you know, she raised someone worth raising, right? Then I knew that I had to get out there and I had to take action. The second thing, which I think was just as important, was my family, my immediate family, led by my wife. So my wife is continuously always allowed me to go after my dreams. And when I tell you that I tried some of every job, like I did it all. So I quit real jobs to become a professional, or to try to become a professional gamer. I was a professional poker player for 2 years. I wound up getting my passport when they shut down online poker, so then I could move to Canada and continue to play. I tried it all, bro. And so my wife was always, she bet on me early and often, right? And I think that needs to be said, because a lot of the times we're only thinking us, but there's so many people in the background that play as a cheerleader or as a coach or as a manager to allow us to go after our dreams. And so I think with those two things, yes, I had the will and the determination, which nobody can give you. But the other thing is, I think I had a team of people around me that I didn't want to let down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely having people supporting you is something that can keep you going in a time like that. And then having people that are relying on you as well for your success, you know, that kind of puts some pressure on you to keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Because again, that's why team sports are so huge, right? When we look at that and prime example, do you watch basketball?
Yeah.
Did you see that game 6 last night?
Yeah.
Right. And for me, I was rooting for the Warriors, right? And I was rooting for the Warriors because of Kevin Durant, you know, getting hurt and Clay and all those guys coming out there wanting to fight for their brother. And I wanted to see in that moment the happy ending that Kevin Durant didn't sacrifice his body for nothing. Right. And right. Then we turn around and we look at what Clay Thompson did, right? That was heart. That was a warrior, true warrior in himself. The fact that he turned back around, came back out, and shot those free throws. And in his mind, granted, he probably never tore an ACL, but you know that something's not right, because they're dealing with bumps and bruises throughout their careers. So you know that something's not right. And for him to turn back around, shoot those two free throws. And then I read a report this morning that said that he told Steve Kerr, he said, just give me 2 minutes and I'll be back out. Right? The mindset that all he knew was he didn't want to let his brother down, Steph Curry. Right. And in that, like that's why you love team sports, is because you all have that one goal, that one battle. So for me, when I can surround myself around people who have that team atmosphere, for me, the reason why I win at so many things is because I know I have a big vision. But at the same time, the people who do believe in my vision and the people who do choose to bet on me, whether it's in business, whether it's in life, I can't afford to let them down. So team sports, team atmosphere, camaraderie, relationships, those are all so big to me and to my mindset.
That's cool, man. You know, I think that's something that gets overlooked a lot, because a lot of times people are talking about, you know, the mindset and what was personally that got them through. And I think that stuff's definitely important, but a lot of times we don't talk about, like, who were the critical people in our lives that got us through tough times, or, you know, who was it that gave us some good advice here and there. I mean, I got my mentors that I kind of rely on, and, you know, that I can call up at any moment, and that always helps me get through. And I can just, you know, even if it's just me talking and somebody just to listen, I know that helps me majorly just get through anything that I'm kind of struggling with. So I can definitely relate to that. And I think, you know, that's something that needs to be made a little bit louder, is that you really do need to surround yourself with a good support system to keep yourself moving forward in times like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's essential. It's critical for anyone. You always need that mentorship. And even if it's not a mentor, you need a mastermind of people around you. And I think you need people around you in different areas of your life, because they're going to give you different perspectives.
All right. So how do you go about building that team? I mean, obviously, you know, you can marry someone, right? You know, someone that you're really close with, right? You have a good partner. You know, that's somebody that's going to be there for you. You know, if you're blessed to have, you know, a mother and father that are supporting, a support system around you. But if you have to, you know, build yourself up, build a team up from the ground up, how would you go about doing that?
Yeah, from the ground up, I think the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm never going to sway away from my vision, right? So I think when you're talking, everybody has their own goals, their own dreams. So you can't allow somebody else, especially if they've never done it before, to sway you off of your vision. And then you got to be able to portray, or articulate is a better word. You got to be able to articulate your vision to many people, right? And you can do it in the form of one-on-one meetings. You can do it in the form of webinars. You can do it in the form of coaching, however you do it. And then there's those people that are going to gravitate towards you to say, listen, I do believe in what you're saying. And not everyone wants to be the face of something, right? So what I mean by that is that whatever your vision is, some people could say, you know what, I love your vision. I would just rather be a background person on this particular thing, right? So let's say your thing is like a nonprofit, and someone else is like, I love the fact that you want to start this nonprofit. But I'm going to be honest, like, I don't want to go out there and have to do a lot of fundraising. But what I can do is I can do the paperwork for you, right? And you know that you have different strengths and you have weaknesses. The thing that I think where most people go wrong is they don't want to acknowledge their weaknesses. And this took me a very long time as well. If when you become an entrepreneur, we think that we can do everything, and we think that we have to do everything. There's something that I put out there in my book, and it says, if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant, right? And us as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we are assistants in so many things because we don't want to give up that. So how you go about building your own team is you figure out, what are my strengths? Okay, if my strengths are going and doing the work, I need to be able to surround myself with other people who can, one, give me different perspectives, right? That is not like mine, because I feel like I don't need a lot of yes men in my life, right? I need those people around me that, even if, and I'm a very strong-minded person, I'm a type A type person, but I feel like I am logical and disciplined enough with myself to say, listen, even though we might not agree right now, later on, I'm going to go back, and even on my drive home or when we get done, I'm going to sit and take a moment to think about, okay, what Jonathan was saying, is that something that I really need to be looking at? And you got to be able to self-assess that. Were they trying to give you this advice in the form of fear, or were they trying to give you this advice in the form of actual love, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes those can be one and the same. So that's why I said everybody could tell you how to do it, but they've never done it. Is that person that you're listening to this advice, have they already done it? Have they already started up a business? Have they already been in a marriage? If they've been in a marriage, have they been in three marriages, and their last marriage has been going on for 20 years? So they learned from the first two, but now their third one. Otherwise, if they're just getting done with their third marriage, right, and none of them have lasted more than 6 months, and you're on your first marriage, but you're already 2 years in, you got to assess that, right? So it's really just being – being very aware of where I am right now. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And the people around me, what have they accomplished if I'm asking for their advice?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, right? I mean, it sometimes feels natural to align ourselves and surround ourselves with people who are all like-minded, who all share the same vision. And I think that's important. But at the same time, you know, if you do have weaknesses, I think it makes a lot of sense to surround yourself with people who can kind of compensate for those weaknesses, who maybe that area of weakness is their strong suit. And together, you kind of holistically can cover both of those topics, both of those different categories. Yeah, cool, man. So, like, just as far as, like, practical advice, right? Like, I want to build a team right now. I've identified that, you know, and this is just an example. I've identified that I'm really good at selling, but, you know, I'm not so good at finances or at, you know, coming up with creative new ideas. Like, how do I find that person practically? Where do I go? Who do I call?
Yeah, so I would say that the first thing I would look at is, do I know somebody that are very close to me that's already doing it? And can I reach out to that person and just tell them, hey, here's the things that I already have going right. And then, but here's some things where I'm lacking at, because naturally people like to help other people, right? But you have to show them that you've already taken some type of action. If you don't have anybody like that in your circle, look at Facebook groups. Right? I think Facebook groups can be really, really vital to say, hey, because you're a part of a community and you have to look at what are you already, you know, have you been serving this community in any just way that you have knowledge? So you always got to be looking to give. And then you say, okay, hey guys, does anybody know of a virtual assistant? Does anybody know of a bookkeeper? Use someone that's very close to you first, because then you can get the recommendation and then it gives credibility on both ends. It gives credibility right to the person who you're going to be reaching out to, because of that connection in the middle, right? If you don't know any of those people, then I'm probably going to a website like Upwork or freelancer.com or something like that. And I'm going to try to find, and then you can look at someone's resume. Or if you already have, you know, a solid business and you're looking for somebody else, there's websites out there like Indeed.com. And you can go to that, or, you know, ZipRecruiter. There's many a ways nowadays. I think the number one thing of what you want to do is use social media as a tool. And then at the same time, you use Google.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I connected with you just by kind of on Instagram, searching up some hashtags, you know, going through some different posts and finding people who are like-minded, engaging in these communities. And I think that's a really effective tool to kind of find like-minded people, find somebody who might be able to fill a void in your business. But I heard you say too, in that little narrative, like, you know, you have to show them that you already have existing business. So let's say now that I do find someone, I think they're the right fit, or somebody that can really impact my business, but they already have a job, they're already doing something. How can I convince them of my vision? How can I convince them to join my team?
Yeah, so I think that it's going to be about your vision, right? So people want to be a part of something that's a lot bigger than them. You got to show them where they're going to go. If we talk about, you know, let's even talk about women. A lot of the times when people say like this, like, does the man need to lead? Does the woman need to lead? A lot of the times I think women, they can be just as capable, just as smart, but they love having a man that's in front that can kind of lead the pack. It's just my opinion, right? Not to say that they're not strong enough, because I believe my wife is more than capable enough, but having someone else, because at the end of the day, there needs to be a quarterback and there needs to be a receiver, right? These are all just my opinions. But when you look at it, you can't have two Tom Brady's on the team. That doesn't work very well, right? But when you have a Tom Brady and you have a Rob Gronkowski, that works a lot better. Not to say that Rob Gronkowski isn't the best in his position and what he's doing, but he knew that he needed somebody to lead that, right? So I think that your vision has to be big enough to be able to show somebody else where they're going. And then the second part of it is, what is the value that you bring? So you have to figure out what's the flaws, right? And you can do this. A lot of the times people say, hey, I want to get into e-commerce, or I want to get into this type of business, but I don't know what product. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, in my opinion. All you need to do is go figure out what's already working and then where are the flaws with these things? So everything, find something that's already selling. If you have a business and you know that you need a secretary or something like that. So whoever the person is, this is where it comes with really listening first instead of just going to speak. So you got to ask questions. If you find somebody and you feel like, hey, this is that person for me. Well, as you interview them, you're going to ask them, okay, I know you love your job. I know you've been there for 5 to 7 years. But if there was one thing that you could change before you even say you want to hire that person, if there was one thing that you feel like you could change, or if there was one thing that your job or your boss could do better, right? What would that thing be? I'm always curious to know because I want to make sure that I'm giving that to my staff. Now they get an opportunity to show their vision, show their input, and really be a decision maker. And they're like, well, you know what? One thing that did happen this year is we all had to work on Christmas Eve. It would have been really cool for us to have Christmas Eve off or just something like that. You know, one thing that I would love is if we had quarterly outings, right? Every quarter, if we just went to a happy hour, just for 1 hour, you know, for us to be able to build a stronger bond within our team. So if you're listening at those things, now when you go to hire that him or her, whatever it is, you say, hey, here's the reason why I would love to have you on my staff. Here's some perks that I'm going to be giving to my staff. Here's the opportunity that you have. And just by the way, regardless if you choose to take me up on this opportunity or not, we are going to be doing quarterly outings because I love the fact that you said that. Hmm. Now that person's like, wow, he took the time to really listen to me. That's right. Huge.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I've struggled with that, right? Because getting off the ground, you know, even it coming into second year now, right? It's still like, you know, if somebody is working for a full-time marketing agency in New York City, right? Because I'm in New Jersey and, you know, a lot of friends and people in my network are working in New York, right? They're getting paid a big-time salary. So to convince them, like, hey, come join this startup, you know, it's in New Jersey. You're not going to we're not going to be able to compete with the salary, but, you know, I have to sell them on the vision. Like you said, I really have to prove to them that, you know, where we're going to go is going to be better than where you're going to be 2 years working for your agency. You know, you're going to have these additional freedoms. You're going to have these additional perks that are really going to be more beneficial than, you know, just the money in your pocket. And sometimes it's very hard to sell people on that. But I guess it's a matter of finding the right person who's kind of willing to take that chance, who maybe does have that dream, who maybe does think that, you know what, one thing I do hate about my job is that, you know, my boss doesn't let me pursue my vision. My boss doesn't let me kind of have the freedom to come up with my own ideas. And, you know, if I'm able to kind of capture that, listen to that when somebody's telling me and then give them those additional freedoms, that seems like it would be a great way to kind of bring them on board.
Yeah, absolutely. And just understand that maybe, you know, which is tough for a business owner, but understand maybe you're not the guy to pitch the vision, right? So what I mean by that is if that's not your strong suit, find somebody who it is their strong suit, right? Mm. Because for Jeff Bezos is not the guy out here hiring for Amazon.
Right.
Right? Like he found one or two people who he did pitch that vision to of here's how we're going to build Amazon. But nowadays, right, like that's not what he's doing, right? He's focusing on the high level strategies. For anybody that's coming to partner with Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett, Warren Buffett isn't the guy that's going to sell you on why you should be with Berkshire Hathaway, right? Not unless you're Jeff Bezos, right? He's probably, you're not having that conversation with him. So figuring out again, how you can focus on, instead of figuring out how, figure out who. If you're trying to figure out how can I pitch out this vision, how can I do that, that's a whole nother skill set that you need to learn that just might not be your strength. But remember, if we look back at 15 minutes ago, what I said, figure out what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses. If that's not your strength, figure out who it is their strength. You pitch the vision to them, and they're going to go out and become your disciple to then bring on the other 10 to 15 people that's going to help you to grow your company.
Yeah. I like that. You know, you kind of overthink that, you know, just pitching your own vision could be something that you need to bring somebody else on to do as well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Where a lot of businesses go wrong is again, they need a salesperson because they're maybe not the salesperson. Everybody doesn't have the want to really do sales like that. Even though everyone is a salesperson, right? No matter who you are, you're selling yourself to your wife, to your husband, to your business partner, to your kids. You're always selling somebody on why they should listen to you and why they should want to be in life, partnership, whatever, with you. But some people, they just don't want to do that, and they can't fix their mind frame. They can't reframe their mind to understand that. So if you can't, you need to go get somebody that can do that.
Right. So I'm gonna push back a little bit, because you hear a lot about focusing on your strengths. And I do think that's super important, and we spent some time talking about it here. But, you know, there's also the side of the argument, well, you know, if you're not good at something, you can go on YouTube and learn about it. You can take a class. You can just go out and do it until you become good at it. So where do you think is the balance between, like, oh, I should go learn that new skill, or I should just bring somebody on who has that skill to, you know, add to my weakness?
I think it comes with two things: money and frustration. One, do you have the money to hire it out? If you do, if you know that your time, especially, let's look at attorneys, right? We know attorneys bill off of hours, and this is just one business. I'm sure we can look at hundreds of them. But if we know attorneys bill off of hourly rates, so if their hourly rate is $300 an hour that they're billing you, and you could go hire somebody to do your paperwork for $20 an hour or $25 an hour, is it worth it? Absolutely, right? Because, I mean, they're going to handle everything else. The other part of it, even if you don't have the money, yes, it's going to be a lot more of a expense in your mind because you don't have the money. But then at the same time, you got to look at frustration. How, because I have to do this paperwork myself, is this frustrating me 2 to 3 hours out of my day? Where I'm like, where I'm thinking to myself, regardless if I say it out loud or not, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And oh my God, I could be doing something way better. Okay, well then that means that you need to invest. And if that allows you to invest, and maybe you can't look at things for a long term, you got to look at it as a monthly. So I used to do this a lot when I was first hiring, and I was saying, oh my God, I got to pay somebody a $36,000 salary. Well, if we're really being honest, you're paying somebody $3,000 a month, right? So after 3 months, you've really only paid $9,000. Now there is another cost that comes with that, is the cost of, if that person does not work out, you have to go back through the hiring process. Right. But at least, again, you're not out the entire 36,000. You're really only out 25% of that, right? But you have to look at it from two ways. One, do I have the money? And two, what is this frustration going to be like? Because if it's going to cause me a lot of frustration, then again, I got to be the assistant. And now it takes my focus off of getting more contracts and building better relationships, which will in turn bring more business in.
Right. But, you know, is it important for you know, me or you or just the entrepreneur to self-develop, like, you know, let's say I'm not good at skills. Should I build my sales? I'm not good at sales. Should I build that up?
Yeah, I get your question. And I would say, I don't think so. If you're somebody who you love to learn things, then yeah. But look at it. How much do you think one thing that we all know is marketing is very, very important, right? And from a high level, I think I always go back to some of the most successful people that I know, right? But the most successful people that I know, they don't worry about the ins and the outs. Right? Jeff Bezos, do you think he really understands the algorithm of Facebook ads?
Right.
He does not. He does not. Do you think he really understands the how important copywriting is? From a surface level, yes, he understands that certain words can trigger certain thoughts and certain actions. But at the same time, Jeff Bezos isn't worrying about that. He isn't worrying about the color schemes. He does what he does. He knows what he's good at. Warren Buffett, he doesn't know anything about Facebook ads.
Right. Right.
So while I think that overall it's important for you to learn the surface level of things to understand what are the areas that you need to focus on in the beginning, trying to go to YouTube and learn Facebook ads, if that's not your strength and that's not what you want to do, no. There's a reason. I feel like the best thing that I've done is I've hired the best people around me for my business. My CPA, I pay him a lot of money, right? And the first time when I told my wife how much it was going to cost, my wife's like, no, there's no way. Because before that, I had a buddy who was doing it, who is a corporate accountant, but he was just doing it on the side for us. But I knew that if I wanted to really level up, I needed somebody who had a little bit more hands-on approach on my business and understood where my vision was going. And so I went and got a very good CPA. My attorney, she's very good, right? So don't skimp on your team and don't try to learn everything, because there's no one that can be an expert in every avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think it's something I do struggle with, and it is not always easy to kind of just say, I'm going to lay out, you know, a big sum of money to bring somebody on. But, you know, if that person can bring you additional value, you know, I guess it is worth it. And, you know, like you were saying, if it's not something you want to be doing, then you shouldn't be going and learning that skill or spending your time doing it anyways, because it's going to bring about more frustration, as you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's been a lot of good stuff, man. I mean, to say that your story is inspirational, I think is an understatement. I think, you know, someone like yourself who is sharing their story, also the fact that you're out here talking to me, but also you have your own podcast and you're sharing it, I think that's awesome as well. I'll bet, you know, that you feel real great when, you know, you hear that somebody's been impacted by just hearing your story. And I'm sure that's part of your success as well, right? It's just kind of sharing that and helping others achieve things as well. You know, I think, you know, your LinkedIn profile talks about how, you know, you're trying to now help others achieve, you know, reach their potential, reach their dreams, because, you know, so important to your success was the people around you and believing in yourself. So if you can instill that in other people, you know, you can just kind of make a big impact on the world. So I love your dreams, and you know, I think I have similar aspirations where I want to make an impact as well. I want to have my own story, share my own story, but you know, I think also it's important to connect with people like yourself, hear your story, hear how you figured it out, and try and share that with the world as well. So again, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Really, really appreciate it, and you know, thank you for all you're doing to help people out as well.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate it. I love, you know, the fact that you did reach out to me on Instagram, because again, a closed mouth never gets fed. So the fact that I could come on here and even if it's just one person, that's what I always look for. I love to be able to help people create a life by their design, right? And I love to be able to help people figure it out. They just got to be willing to take action. So I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Real quick before we close out, tell people where they can reach you at.
Yeah, so on all the social media platforms, I'm on there, and it's just Casanova Brooks. So Casanova, and then Brooks. Otherwise, you can also reach me at my website, which is www.casanovabrooks.com. And yeah, check out the podcast. I love getting feedback on it. I've had some really good guests on there, and I only use it just like you're using it, to be able to give back to my community. Be able to get some really bright minds, thought leaders, you know, business owners, and share their stories, share their journey, and tactical information of how someone else can level up.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. And what was the name of the podcast again?
Dream Nation.
Dream Nation. Yeah, awesome.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, we got to figure out too that if we're gonna go Bio Nation, I like that. Figure It Out Nation, something like that. I'm gonna get back to you on that. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you take care. I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, I look forward to connecting. If anybody hears this, definitely let me know that you heard me on the Figure It Out podcast. And I would love to be able to share that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. Take care. All right.
You as well. Later.
All right.